That hymn leads me to ask you the question, what are you holding back? We very easily and sometimes very glibly sing, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. We forget very quickly that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that our Lord Jesus, altogether lovely and altogether beautiful, the fairest of 10,000, the lily of the valleys, our Lord Jesus, the brighter than the morning star, this our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin. I want to bring you into a place of Scripture where in Isaiah 53 we discover these very precious and yet shocking words, words that surely ought to cause our hearts to think again. If you'll turn to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we read in verse 4, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. We see here the attitude of man as he concerns himself with Jesus. Now, you may see Jesus as lily white. You may see him as dark as night. You may somehow see him as red as a rose. You may see Jesus in various hues of color. You may see Jesus as one who is very much a benefactor. You may see Jesus as the one that performs miracles or is a great speaker. You may see Jesus as one who cares for children and has great concern with the cast out and the cast down. You may see Jesus in a variety of pictures. But if you look at Jesus of Calvary, there is nothing about Jesus that is particularly inviting. Spittle and spit has congealed with blood in his beard. His beard has been plucked from his face so that his face is swollen, harsh, heavy. Strong hands have buffeted, smashed into his face. A crown of thorns has been pressed, scraping the skull and ripping the flesh and skin such as it is upon a head. His back has been lacerated so that the flesh is hanging literally from it. And cruel nails are in his hands and in his feet. And the contortions and the agony of the muscle structure of his body is such that he is one total mass of contortions. Things we don't think about when we think of Jesus, things we don't really analyze when we think of Jesus. We see him as the shepherd that gathers the lamb, and upon his shoulder the lamb is safely laid. We see him as the one who says to the lady who is an adulteress, neither do I condemn thee, go thy way, sin no more. We see him as the one saying to Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came. We see Jesus in a variety, in a multitude of wonderful scenes, but in this one scene, there is nothing, says Isaiah, as you look at this man, this very God and very man, as he hangs upon Calvary's cross, there is nothing that would recommend him to us. I would like to bring you into a place where we might think for a moment or two of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus is not just light, he is the light of life. Life cannot be lived without this light. The psalmist says in the fourth psalm in the second verse, O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? It's a question. Let's see how it was done. Let's consider five things, how these people in the day of Jesus and in the day of his crucifixion in a grotesque way honored Jesus. They gave him a procession of honor. Jesus was honored by a great procession from Jerusalem, from the Praetorium where the soldiers chastised Jesus, where he was led out in front of Pilate, and in front of Pilate suffered many things. And then when he left the Praetorium, he was led out of Jerusalem, outside the city wall, and there our dear Lord was crucified. They gave him a procession, Roman legionnaires, who eventually would look at one another as they looked around at this tremendous happening of the sky becoming so dull, this sky becoming so completely dark, this hush throughout the whole of the earth as they understood the earth. These men who were pretty strong and pretty calloused in battle and pretty strong and calloused in the things that hurt and destroyed and were pain-filled, these men turned and said, truly this was the Son of God. But in the procession of the Roman legionnaires, and there were the Jewish priests, these priests that had stood beside Jesus and heard him speak God's precious word, these priests that had heard Jesus speaking the things of God, and they knew that these were the things of God, but their own religion was so empty, and they couldn't part with their own religion. They had to hang on to the things that they understood. They could not desert what they understood and turn to Jesus. And these Jewish priests were in the procession, urging the people to shout, crucify him! Crucify him! Away! Away with this man! Crucify! Urging the people to say, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Urging people to cry and to mock Jesus. The Jewish priests were there. Men and women were there. Mark and Luke both tell us that they danced in the road. They danced around. They laughed. They mocked. They danced. The King of Kings was to be crucified. The Lord of Lords was to die. The Prince of Peace was to suffer for our iniquities. And all hell rejoiced. And the imps of hell in the minds of men and in the hearts of men and women danced in front of Jesus. This was some procession. He carried his own gibbet. Some time ago I mentioned the word gibbet. A gibbet is the instrument of death. It is a cross. It is a cross that is rough-hewn, usually with an edging tool. They edged the surface, or just from a very coarse cross-cut saw, they had sawn the surface, but it was not plain smooth and it was not plain flat. And so the slivers and the splinters were now well into his body, usually, I suppose, his shoulders and his back. There was a Cyrenian, perhaps he was a colored man, perhaps he wasn't. The father of Alexander and Rufus coming out of the country, and they saw him standing there, perplexed, no doubt, shocked shocked, I'm sure, at seeing his Lord Jesus going up the hill to be crucified, and he was standing there, and the legionnaires grabbed him, and they said, you carry the cross, for Jesus was stumbling under its weight. It was some procession. This is the world's reward for him who came to overthrow sin. This is earth's reward for him who came to clean up all the crime. This is earth's reward for him who came to deal with the problems of man, a man in his direst need. This was the world's reply. The lepers that were in the crowd as they gathered, as they saw a procession, not sure of who it was or what it was, lepers that had been cleansed came and watched Jesus and this grisly procession going up the hill to Golgotha. And they must have wept. Theirs was not the cry, crucify him. Theirs was the cry, cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Blind people who once had never seen, whom Jesus had spoken to and now saw, they now saw the procession as they too hurried to see what this commotion was, what this procession really meant. And they, for the first time in their lives, saw a procession that they wished they had never seen. And it was indelibly imprinted upon their minds, this procession of the King of Kings. The world pays homage to the change of heart. But the world is threatened by the one who changes the heart. The world pays great homage to the cleansing of the soul. But the world is vicious toward the one who does the cleansing. The words are, we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. And this procession goes on up the hill to the derisive shouts and the cruel taunts, which are his only praise. My heart was blessed listening to the choir sing. My soul was refreshed singing the songs that we call the beautiful hymns of the Word of God. My heart, my whole person is elated by the music that we enjoy so much as we praise God from whom all these blessings flow. And yet, the song as Jesus was going up the hill to Golgotha's brow was filled with derisive shout, cruel taunt, and that was his praise. There's a second thing. There was a kind of banquet when Jesus had been nailed to the cross, when Jesus was actually hanging on that cross. There was a kind of banquet. They gave him the cup or the wine of honor. The procession of honor had been there. Now is the cup or wine of honor. The criminal's stupefying drink of death, a draught of death. Unmoved, Jesus refused it. Jesus quietly pushed it away. He couldn't move his hands, they were pinioned to the cross, but he moved his mouth. He moved his head away from that drink that was offered him, that he wouldn't feel all the pain. There would be some stupefaction taking over within his mind and in his frame. But he moved his head. He refused. He would rather preserve the uninjured taste, to taste death for us. Recently, in these last couple of weeks, many of our older people have gone to be with Jesus. And as I've attended these various funerals, I've been reminded over and over again, Jesus tasted death. And we look at the grave and we say, grave, where is your victory? Where is it? It isn't there. And the Christian mocks the grave. Death, where is your sting? For this person loves Jesus. Their soul, their spirit is not in this grave. Death could not engulf them. Could not engulf them. Because Jesus tasted death for all men. We never die. Whosoever believeth in him shall never die, said Jesus. Never die. The body may be laid and returned to dust, but the person believing in Jesus shall never die. They gave him wine of honor. Later he cries, I thirst. Vinegar mingled with gall, a type of anesthesia. They thrust to his mouth on a sponge. What hospitality. What hospitality for the king's son. He told the story once of a man who had sent his son to collect the rent from the various farmers of a vineyard. And they said, here comes the son, let us kill him, and the inheritance is ours. And here is the Son of God upon a cross. And one runs with a spear and spears a sponge and dips it in the wine and gets it all soggy with the wine that is mingled with gall and then lifts that sponge and lifts it up to the cross and puts it in front of his face that he might suck on that sponge. How are you treating Jesus in your life today? With some placating prayer, with some spongy thinking, with some useless act. Look at the third thing. They gave Jesus a guard of honor. Look at this guard of honor. Look at this centurion and his Roman legionaries as they're gathered around at the bottom of the cross. As they're gathered, if there are rocks amongst those rocks at the bottom of that cross, see the legionnaires, and they're casting stones, they're casting dice, they're casting their lots, so that they may take even his undergarments. And they're casting lots to see who wins. If you look back up at the cross, you see the one hanging there, and even his vesture, even his clothing is being gambled away. And they're saying to the one hanging on the cross, see, there's absolutely no hope because you'll never use clothing again. It was their booty. And they cast their lots. A bodyguard. Jesus had a bodyguard of brutal gamblers. But then they did more than that. They gave him a throne of honor. They gave him a throne of honor. We sing sometimes at the cross where I first saw the sight. And the burden of my heart rolled away. What precious words, what had captivated the mind of the heart of the person that wrote that lovely hymn. But it is a throne of honor. It's nothing less nor more than a blood-stained tree. A throne of honor. No kinder place of rest for the man, our liege Lord. There is no kinder place, no gentler bed, no softer accommodation than the cross at Calvary. The cross was the full expression of the world's feeling towards Jesus. When you gather a friend comes to your house, you would never say, lean against the wall all night. Even if someone whom you really disliked came to your home and was in need, you wouldn't say, well, if you must stay here, just lean against the door for the night. But the world's attitude was this, that no matter how long it took for a person to die, when Jesus was upon that cross, it could take as long as it took, but he could hang and he could die. A throne of honor was the cross. This is how God should be treated. It seems as if the world is saying, if we could reach him, this is how we would treat the very God. And this is how we would repay his love. And this is how we would repay his care. And this is how we would repay his attention. And this is how these sufferings would be. And it would happen this way. This is their cry, a throne of honor. But if you look again at that cross, you'll see that they gave Jesus a title of honor. Now, the Jewish nation, you must remember, was considered a very poor specimen of humanity. And the Roman superiority and snobbery and their attitude towards the genealogy of all of their nation and all of their legions of people, the Roman people were very snobbish and very overly proud at the fact that they were Romans. And they looked at the Jewish people as being less than human beings, in the same way that the Nazis looked at the Jewish people as being less than human beings. And just as the Nazis sought to destroy the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, and just as the world with its anti-Semitic attitudes towards the Jews in this day, so it was in Rome. And the Roman attitude was destroy these people. And so, as they look down upon the Jewish nation, and they look at all these Jews and collectively put them together as some scum of the earth, they title Jesus, and they give him the title King of the Jews. To them, a scandal, to them, a great scare, to them, something that was sarcastic as well as barbaric. But listen to the Jewish people. Knowing their position in the eyes of the Roman, as they knew their position in the eyes of the Nazi, they stand and cry out, "We have no king. Caesar is our king." The title Jesus wore was in a superscription written over and placed above his head. Pilate had it written. It was written in Hebrew and Latin and Greek and Arabic. And it was written in all the languages that all the people that were dancing and mocking and singing out their cursing and all the people that were gathered in that great confrontation of hell and heaven could read it. The Jewish priests in fury go to Pilate. They say, "Take it down. Take down that he said he was king of the Jews. Take it down. Write that he said he was king of the Jews." Listen to Pilate in all his legalistic finery. He says, "What I have written, I have written." And he walks away from them. And the title stood King of the Jews. King of the Jews had become, as you look at the Calvary scene, as you look at Golgotha's brow, King of the Jews expands into King of Thieves. For he was the one in the center, two crosses, one on each side, bore a thief. And if you look at that for a moment or two, the title that was his was a title of honor, for he was reckoned to be in the center of these thieves, the King of Thieves. Jesus was esteemed stricken of God, smitten by God, afflicted by God. Because who would blame Satan? And who would blame mankind? Between two thieves, and by preferring Barabbas, they created the highest shame for Jesus as he hung on that cross. Oh, listen. Dearly, dearly has he loved, we must love him too. We must trust in his redeeming blood. We must try. Oh, we must try. His works to do. Ladies and gentlemen, thus was the light of the world treated. Thus was his glory shamed. Thus was Jesus' esteem smitten. Stricken, afflicted by God. Does it mean nothing to you? Have you never received Jesus? Have you never responded to the gospel that says, in my place condemned he stood, and with the blood sealed my pardon with his blood? Have you never responded to this Jesus? Have you ever responded in the words of that beautiful hymn, take my life, oh, let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments, take my days, let them be filled with ceaseless praise. Take my heart, and it shall be thy royal throne eternally. Ladies and gentlemen, respond to this Jesus, for he suffered and he died for our sin. Respond to this Jesus, for he went to Calvary that you and I would never need to be fearful of a Calvary. Have you ever trusted him? Are you consecrated to him? Is your life dedicated to his service? Please pray with me now. While our heads are bowed, while our hearts are still tender, just quietly, will you commit yourself to Jesus? The one whom the world cannot receive, but because the Spirit of God is working in your heart, you have received. Quietly dedicate your life to him. Consecrate your life to him. Lord Jesus, when we consider all that you've suffered on our account, our hearts weep. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Lord Jesus, when we consider all that you've suffered on our account, our hearts weep. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.